Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
True story. I said that last night, and they came out of church and said, true story? You didn't have to say that. We don't think that you wouldn't tell us a not true story. But true story. I knew a boy who is now a young man who was full of questions. At school, his parents were very proud that he would never settle for a pat, simple answer to any of his questions. They understood that the process of learning involved questioning, searching, probing to find the right answer. When the boy was in seventh grade, his parents went to a parent-teacher conference. And they were kind of shocked at a comment this teacher made. The teacher said, you know, your son is a very bright young man, but he needs to learn to ask fewer questions and listen more. When the parents went home, they asked their boy what was going on in that class. And their son didn't hesitate to say, Mr. Briggs isn't much of a teacher. All he wants is to have us memorize what is in the textbook. And I don't need to go to class to do that. Every time I ask a question that's not in the book, he says, I need to wait till I get into the advanced study next year. Well, the boy's parents didn't hesitate to go to the principal and have him removed from that class. The young man excelled in his studies. He graduated from high school and college with honors. He landed a good job where his questioning mind gave him a successful career. But there's another side to this young man's story. Life is more than good grades and a successful career. There is a spiritual dimension to life. The parents were good churchgoers and sought to raise their son in the church. And you might guess this young man's questioning mind did not shut off when he entered into the church building. Although his parents applauded his questioning in the academic world, for them questioning church or God was unacceptable. And the church they attended agreed to that understanding. For them, everything held, what they held, was black or white. No room for gray areas. No room for struggles. You either believed or you didn't. Simple as that. But it wasn't that simple for this young man. One day he learned that one of his classmates were killed in a car accident. His parents hurt for their son because they couldn't answer his question. Why did God allow this to happen? So what do you think they did? They took him to the pastor. He listened to the young man, and then he responded, we don't have answers for why things happen the way they do. We don't have all those answers. It's all a part of God's plan. And the discussion ended there. Now, in defense of the pastor, I must tell you, we pastors do not have all the answers to life's troubling questions. I know I don't have all the answers, but I hope I would never say it's all a part of God's plan. I don't believe it was a part of God's plan that a man should get drunk, get behind a wheel, and cause the death of another individual. When the young man left home, he left his church. He is now in his 30s and is still seeking God, but not through the church. He has little use for his home, his church of his childhood, because he felt they had a deaf ear to his questions and shut him down as he was struggling for God. Question: is faith the absence of questions and doubts and struggles? No. Faith is our companion in the midst of all of that. Faith stands with us at the grave of our loved one. Faith opens our eyes of our heart to see life beyond the grave. Faith does not give all the answers, but it does give us hope. And as Paul wrote, Such hope does not disappoint us. Today's gospel lesson is filled with questions and doubts and struggles, even despair. But it climaxes in a faith reborn and alive. This particular gospel lesson is probably one of the most compelling narratives of all of Scripture. The disciples in conversation centering around the crucified dead Jesus, their words come out slowly, almost painfully, as they're trudging along the way, their feet heavy and their heart broken. Life just seems hopeless. And suddenly the stranger shows up and asks questions. You and I know it was Jesus, but the disciples at first didn't recognize him. Now, does that seem strange? Well, anyone who has experienced the sudden death of a loved one can share the devastating effects of such a loss. And most will tell you they didn't even remember a lot of the first days in their numbness and blindness to what is going on in the immediate. The two disciples did not recognize Jesus because they were filled with sadness and despair. Verse 21, we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. We had hoped, and they felt it was all over. For those without a resurrection faith, death is a terrible thing, for it puts an end to the hope for future. Without a living hope in Jesus Christ, the resurrected Lord, like the disciples, the road of life, we just trudge along. We trudge along, dragging our feet and wondering, what could I have done to avoid it? But it doesn't have to be that way. You and I are children of God, and we know the rest of the story, and we know that death is not the end. We know that there is an eternal hope that is ours only in the faith of Jesus Christ, in Jesus Christ. There's a city in Romania. At one time, of course, was under communist rule, but they have a cemetery, a burial ground, and it's called Mary, M-E-R-R-Y, Cemetery. And the crosses or tombstones that are there are decorated in carvings, colorful colors, painting, and amusing epithets. They express the Christian belief in the resurrection. Now, the brochure for people traveling to visit this cemetery was written under the communist rule, and this is how the brochure, before they were liberated, brochure reads, advertising the cemetery. It reads this: the expression of a certain philosophy regarding a way of facing death. Faith in Jesus Christ is more than a philosophy about facing death. As people of God, our faith rests on our relationship with the crucified and living Lord. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. That is our hope. That is our assurance that the grave is not the end. But for that hope to be real for us, Jesus' words need to be more deeply embraced, deeply rooted in us. Our spiritual eyes must be open to see the presence of the living Lord. Not just here as we're together or we're singing songs about his resurrection or hearing a message about his resurrection. In our second lesson, Peter tells us how we know that the imperishable seed of God's word takes root. He writes, genuine love will be an intricate part of who we are. Life will never be trouble-free. We will never be without our doubts. However, in the midst of our human experiences, our risen Lord stands with us. He feels our pain, our confusion, and he offers up his hope and comforting presence. You and I stand also with one another. Together we hear, together we see, together we receive Jesus' words of assurance. This is my body given to you. This is my very life that was poured out for you. In that promise, we know nothing ever will separate us from him. Christ is risen. Amen.